All right, how's everybody doing tonight? Man, it's a great day. Everybody get full up on food before service. It was a good time. You know, you just can't help but be a good time of fellowship and Sloppy Joe's.
Amen.
You know? Now, I wasn't there, but I feel like that's probably what the Jesus and the disciples ate. You know, some Sloppy Joe's. Oh, man. But today's a good day. Any day that you're on this side of the dirt, you're breathing, you have breath in your lungs, today is important. God gave you this day not because you need it, but because somebody needs you.
Amen.
And he needed you to be alive so you can love them. All right? Now, over the last couple of weeks, we've been focusing on Romans 5, verse 3 through 5. We'll go ahead and throw that up there. We've been looking at this set of verses and really digging into them. And it says, Romans 5, chapter 5, verse 3, it says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. We can rejoice when we run into problems, okay? For we know that they help us develop endurance. See, 2 weeks ago we talked about endurance. What is endurance? It's pushing through. It's breaking through to the other side, right? Because see, if our vision is to impact this community, the devil's not going to give it up without a fight. He's been the Lord of this community and this area for way too long for him to just say, here you go, Christian. You can have all this territory of mine. See, we're going to have problems as we go forward. As we try to push and expand our borders for Jesus, we're going to have to go through some stuff. All right? We're going to have to endure some things. But John 16:33 tells us to what? To take heart. John 16:33 says, I have told you all of these things so you can have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. See, that's part of endurance. That's that endurance that we're talking about there. It's taking heart. I can go through anything because Jesus is by my side. Because I serve a God bigger than the trial. Bigger than the issue. We serve a bigger God. And it's all about pushing on and pushing through. Because see, those trials develop endurance. That was 2 weeks ago. Last week, we looked at endurance develops strength of character. Okay? In Romans 5:4, it says, endurance develops strength of character. The strength of character, being more Christ-like, imitating Christ in everything that we do. Because see, we got to push on through, and while we're pushing, imitate God. Let God flow out of our life because that's the way we're going to push through, right? We talked about John 3:30. He must increase and I must decrease. If we're going to be more Christ-like, there's got to be less of me. There's got to be less of Jeremy in the equation and more of God. All right? You got to have more of God if we're going to be Christ-like. You got to have more God. In Galatians 3:27, it says, and those who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on the character of Christ. See, all this endurance that we're doing, we're strengthening ourselves. We're being more Christ-like. We're putting him on. In the Greek, when it talks about being clothed, it's signifying when you're being clothed with another person, it's signifying that you're taking on that person. You're taking on their views. You're imitating them in all of the things that you do, and you're wholly on their side. Because see, that's part of being strength of character, being Christ-like, is taking on all of those things. And what are those things that Christ is? Galatians 5:22. Galatians 5:22 says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. See, to be Christ-like, we got to have love. We got to have joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the hardest one. That's the last one, because it's the hardest one. Yeah. Self-control. Control yourself. If you want to be more like Christ, you got to control yourself. All right? Get a hold of yourself. Sometimes you got to look in the mirror, slap yourself, and say, you're doing wrong. Yeah. Yeah. Follow Jesus. Yeah. Got to slap yourself. All right. But see, all of those things, they begin to build on each other. Endurance, strength of character. It's a cycle. Because the more you endure, the more Christ-like you become. See, the more you endure, the more fruit of Christ comes in your life. And then, when the more fruit is there, you can endure even more. You can push through because you can see, you know what? God showed up yesterday. He showed up the day before. He's going to show up today. He promised He would never leave us nor what? Forsake us. Because see, He showed up in our time of need. It's a cycle. Those things build on each other. And then all of this, going back to Romans 5:3-5. Endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. See, this cycle of endurance and being Christ-like and growing in the things of Christ, it produces a hope. It produces hope in our lives, hope in God, hope in the things of Him. You see, the question is, what is hope? What is hope? Hope in the world is commonly used to mean a wish. I hope for something. I wish that my boss would give me a raise. I hope that my wife can find her keys in the morning because she puts them all over the house. Okay? It's a wish. And see, the strength of a worldly hope is found in the person's desire. See, the stronger the person has a desire for something, the stronger their hope is to obtain that. The stronger their wish is to grab a hold of whatever that is. It's based on a person's desire, what they have within them. But get this. That's what the world's hope says. What does the Bible say? What is hope in the Bible? In the Bible, hope is a confident expectation of what God has promised. Get that. Hope is the confident expectation of what God has promised. It's saying, I have confidence in God. He promised me, and I'm going to stand on those words. It's like that song, I'm standing on the promises of God my Savior. I'm going to stand on that. That's what true hope is standing on the Word of God, on His promises, that every word in this book is true. Every word in that book has meaning for our lives. And see, the great thing about true hope in God is its strength isn't in me. Biblical hope, the strength is all in God and His faithfulness. It has nothing to do with me. Because if it depended on me, we'd all be lost. I'm just laying it out there. If hope of salvation depended on Jeremy, you better get in the bus. We ain't going to heaven. Just saying. If I'm honest, see, if I'm honest, but see, true hope in God is dependent on His faithfulness. It's a blessed assurance. See, I love that song. I love old hymnals. Blessed assurance. See, I don't know if anybody knows, you know when that song was written? 1873. That was a long time ago. That was before I was ever thought. But you know what? The words rung true then, and they still ring true now. See, we have a blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation. We get that heir of salvation. Purchase of God. God purchased you. Ooh. Born of His Spirit. Washed in His blood. See, in that last verse, it gets me every time. It says, perfect submission. All is at rest. I and my Savior are what? Happy and blessed. We're watching, waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness and lost in His love. See, we have a blessed assurance. That's the hope that we have as we endure and we become more Christ-like and we push towards God with all of our might. We have that blessed assurance. We're assured that all is at rest. All. All is at rest. We're going to be happy and blessed. Now, look at Hebrews 6:18. It says these words. So God has given both His promise and His oath. These things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Amen. Get that. These things, He's given us His promise and His oath, and it's impossible for God to lie. So when He says, I got you, He ain't lying. No matter how many times someone has said, I got you, I'm with you, and they weren't, God says, I can't lie. When I tell you I'm there, I'm there. I'm walking with you. And when you can't walk on your own, I'm carrying you through. I'm carrying you through because I can't lie. It goes on to say, therefore, we who have fled to Him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. So if we run to God as our refuge, we put our strength in Him, we have a great confidence. We hold on to the hope we hold on to it that lies in front of us. Verse 19, this hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our soul. This hope that we have is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our soul. What does an anchor do? An anchor on a big ship, it holds it in place. When the waves come, the wind howls, and everything is going wrong, the boat stays still. The boat doesn't move because of the anchor. Get that. In the midst of the storm, no matter how hard things look, the anchor holds. The anchor still holds. What is our anchor? It's God. No matter how hard things look, the anchor holds. No matter how beat up your ship is, the anchor holds. No matter how tore up your sails are, the anchor holds. The anchor still holds. That's God's promise to us, is that He's a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. And it leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. See, when we hold on to the anchor, no matter what life throws at us, we can still keep going. We can still endure. We can still push forward in the things of God. That's an awesome promise that we have. The anchor still holds. Now, this hope that we have, this hope that we're building. Romans 5:5 says, and this hope will not lead to what? Disappointment. This hope that we have in God, you will not be disappointed. You can be disappointed in your mama, your brother. You can be disappointed in your kids, your best friend. It happens. But this hope we have in God will never disappoint you. Never. It says in this hope, Romans 5:5, this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. See? This hope won't disappoint. This hope that we have can get us through our darkest times. Can get us through when we're broken and we don't know which way is up. It can get you through. But the deal is, we can't lose sight of that hope. We can't lose sight of it. In Hebrews 10:23, it tells us to let us hold tightly without wavering. Let us grab on to God and hold with all of our might and don't waver. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. See, there it is again. Over and over, God tells us, trust me. I got you, fam. You ain't got to worry about anything. Thank you, God. Let's not lose sight. Lamentations 3:21. If you've ever read the third chapter of Lamentations, the first 20 verses is all about the stuff happening to the writer. Talking about how he got shot, how he got broken bones, how he was bound up in chains. But then, verse 21 comes along. And what does it say? Even though all of that, yet I still dare to hope. Yet I still dare to hope. All of these things I've gone through, but yet I still dare to hope. Whew. I dare to hope. And when I remember this, see, in the King James, it says, this I recall in my mind, therefore I have hope. So he's bringing up the hope. He's reminding himself of the hope. And he says, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. See, when all hell is breaking loose, you can turn to this verse and know, the faithful love of the Lord doesn't end. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Every day he's got more mercy for us. He's got more hope. He's got more provision for us. If you had a bad day, go to sleep. It's going to be better tomorrow. If you had a good day, hey, go to sleep. It's going to be better tomorrow. All right, that's the confident hope that we have. That's the blessed assurance that we have, is great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will what? I will hope in him. I will put my hope and my trust in him. See, the last 20 verses was all about all the hell breaking loose in his life. And he said, but I'm still going on. I'm still praising Jesus in spite of. I mean, if you ain't feeling this, we got to have a service afterwards. All right. Now, don't lose sight of the hope. Because see, when you take your eyes off of Jesus, you're going to be like my boy Peter and Matthew when they were out on the water. Was it Matthew? I wrote it down. Matthew 14, verse 22, if you want to look at it. The disciples are out in a boat. They see a man walking across the water. And Peter calls out, it's you, Lord. Call me out there. He said he had the faith to move forward in the things of God, right? That's verse 28. Peter steps out. He was confident in Jesus. He had that blessed assurance. But then verse 30 happened. When he got his eyes off of Jesus, when he got his focus on the wind and the waves, what did he do? Sank like a rock. See, I want to encourage you tonight. We have a confident hope. Keep your eyes on the hope. Grab a hold of the hope. Don't be like Peter. When you get your eyes off, you're going to fall. But if you're always running toward God and keeping him your focus, what did the verse say we read earlier? You won't be disappointed. Hope won't disappoint you. Now the question is, after all of that, knowing that we have a hope, we have a blessed assurance that's greater than anything that we run against, what do we do with that knowledge? What do we do with that knowledge? What do we do with the hope that we have within inside us? The only thing you can do is share it. Share it with other people. See, in Romans 15:13, it says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then get this next sentence. Then you will overflow with confident hope. See, you will overflow. Today we were making lunch. We get after service, or after this morning service. And there was this packet of noodles that my wife wanted me to fix. You got to put some stuff in the pan and make it boil, right? Well, it's got water and milk and some other junk. And you get the water boiling. I wasn't paying attention to the pot. What happens to a pot when it really gets to boiling? It overflows. And what does that overflow do? It touches everything around it. See, you can't contain the overflow. It's going to get out. This verse. Look at it. Then you will overflow with confident hope. See, in this process of enduring and being more Christ-like and growing in the things of God, he expects there to be an overflow. He expects so much of his joy and his love and his peace to be in you that you can't contain it. And when you can't contain it, it flows out. It touches other people. It touches those around you. It gets on them. Just like my pot today got everywhere. It got on me. We got to share the hope. We've got to be a beacon of hope in a hopeless world. Because see, there's a lot of people in the world without hope. You turn on the news for just a couple of minutes. You see people without a hope. And what are we supposed to be? A beacon of hope in a hopeless world. We may not know all of the answers, but we know the answer. The answer to all of life's questions, Jesus. So it's a challenge today. Hold on to that hope and let it overflow to other people. Let it flow out. Let it flow. Because I don't know about you, but I want as many people to come to heaven as possible. And the only way we're going to do it is spreading hope, spreading love, being more Christ-like, enduring things. Because as we go through life praising Jesus, people are going to see it. People are going to notice. And we're going to tell people, Jesus blessed me here. Jesus blessed me there. That's what it's all about. That's my hope for us. That's my encouragement tonight. Grab a hold of hope and let it flow. All right, bow your heads. Lord Jesus, I lift up each and every person here tonight. Lord, I ask that you would continue to reveal yourself to each one of us, to help us have that confident hope in you, that blessed assurance. And Lord, I ask that you would give each and every one of us an opportunity this week to share that hope with someone else. I ask that you would put people in our paths so we can share your hope and your love to everyone around us. And we stand on these awesome promises. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.